O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Elijah was finished. He had nothing left to give. Exhausted, overwhelmed, he just gave in. He gave in to despair. He has gone a day's journey into the wilderness, and it is all too much. Sitting down under a pitiful little tree in the wilderness, Elijah asks God to take his life. Now, if you remember the story of Elijah, this part of it is quite a surprise. Elijah, after all, is one of the major prophets. He's the one who we sometimes say we are saving an empty chair for Elijah. And he has just done amazing things. God had called him to go to the Israelites who were wandering off to false gods, as they often did. A lot of them were following Baal. And so God sent Elijah to call them back home and remind them who was the true God. So just before this passage we heard, Elijah has just triumphed over 400 of the priests of Baal. He beat them in a cosmic contest of fire, calling on God to make himself known by bringing down fire and consuming the offering of a bull that was laid on the altar. The 400 priests of Baal could not raise so much as a spark. So in effect, Elijah has just won a gold medal in calling down fire from heaven, and the other team didn't even make the scoreboard. And the people are amazed. They see this manifestation of the glory of God and the power of God, and they turn back to God. And Elijah then calls for the death of the prophets of Baal. Well, Queen Jezebel was kind of fond of those prophets. And when she found out about what Elijah had done, she issues a death warrant for him. So he has to flee for his life. But we might wonder why he suddenly gives in to despair after such a feat. Does he think that his work is all done? Is he completely burned out and exhausted? Has he sunk so far into depression that he can't get out by himself? We just don't know. But all of us have had low points in our lives, sometimes of sheer exhaustion, or grief, depression, or serious illness. How many of us have had a time when we felt like Elijah, at least for a time, had to stop and feeling like we are not able to go on by ourselves? I think of the experience of many of our soldiers now when they return from war. Many of them are wounded in spirit, even if they are not wounded physically. And many of them experience depression and post-traumatic stress, which can last for years if not well attended to. All of us have had low points in our lives. So Elijah calls out to God and says, "I am done." And then he lies down and goes to sleep. And God sends a messenger to Elijah in his sleep, a messenger of compassion. God sends an angel with food and drink for the journey. God sends an angel to pull Elijah out of his isolation and despair. I love the way that Joan read that passage. Get up! Get up, Elijah! It's time to eat. God sends him an angel to remind him that he is never alone, that God is with him always. Now, God speaks to us in many ways. Sometimes God sends us a message through another person. Perhaps you can think of a time in your life when someone, maybe someone you knew well, maybe someone you didn't know at all, said something that had a profound impact on your life. Maybe a teacher, maybe a mentor, maybe a stranger. Sometimes God will send us a message through another person. And sometimes, I think, even in this age, we are touched by angels. I think of all the times that angels appear in Scripture. These are just a few of them. Remember the story of Jacob, who wrestled with the angel all night long and leaves in the morning with a blessing. Or the story of Isaiah, his vision of the Lord sitting on a throne in a heavenly temple, surrounded by the six-winged seraphim, the most glorious of all the angels. They are singing, "Holy, holy, holy," the words that have become the Sanctus of our liturgy. And Isaiah is overcome by the glory of God and the glory of the angels singing to the glory of God. And in the midst of all of this, he realizes his own humanness, his own weakness, his own brokenness. Maybe that's part of what happened with Elijah. Isaiah laments that he is lost. But one of the seraphim takes a live coal and touches it to Isaiah's lips, saying, "Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." And then Isaiah hears God speaking, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah answers, "Here am I, send me." Angels often appear to give us strength for the journey that God intends for us. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, telling her that she is to bear the Son of God. And then the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. The angels appeared to the poor shepherds on the hillside, announcing the birth of Christ and telling them that they do not have to be afraid. Sometimes angels appear in dreams. Sometimes they appear in times of crisis. Sometimes they offer challenge. Sometimes comfort and compassion. But always, these messengers of God appear to bring God's good news to earth. The good news for Elijah was that God loved him and gave him what he needed to go on. And that is true for all of us. We do not always get what we want. You know that Rolling Stones song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want." That's true. We do not always get what we want, but God will give us what we need. I know people who have a sense of a guardian angel watching over them. And we speak of people who are angels in our lives. Sometimes someone appears at just the right time in a crisis. It's often a stranger, and we call them an angel of mercy. Sometimes we are the one who needs the angel of mercy if despair has taken root within us. Other times, we become the angel of mercy to someone else, bringing God's message of love and hope into their lives. We do not always get what we want, but God will give us what we need. Food and drink for the journey, bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. Amen.